funny.
This happens behind the curtains, but curtains are open. Good morning. Good to see you so much. Thank you for welcoming us this morning. As Pastor said, he prayed for somebody to come and that we pray for a church we can go to. Whenever we're not booked, we go on the internet and look for Fundamental Baptist Church that believe the Bible, that teach the King James, and that's where we're looking. So we were not surprised when we got here, and so we're excited to be here this morning. So thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity. Real quick here, this is my wife, Rosa. And we've been married for 31 years, serving the Lord for many, many years. I was reached with the gospel by American missionaries in my hometown in Porto Alegre, the southernmost state of Brazil. And she was reached by German missionaries. So, yeah. It's interesting because the word for shepherd and pastor is the same word in Portuguese, pastor. So it's fair to say that she was led to the Lord by a German shepherd. You know, so it's kind of a neat thing how the Lord used it. It's kind of neat how the Lord used Germans to reach her family and then Americans to reach our family. So we're so grateful for that. And we both worked in our churches and then we met later in life. And so we began to work together to help American missionaries who came to Brazil in the 80s. They didn't know Portuguese. They didn't know the culture. In fact, the first church that we helped together, for the first 6 months of that church, we were able to see a ministry started. And by God's grace, that missionary in my hometown worked with other American missionaries. So now they have so many other churches in the Bible seminary there in our hometown. And one of the missionaries was a graduate from Bob Jones University. Now the pastor's going to tell me to sit down. Here's what it is. I went to Bob Jones University, but I was not institutionalized. Amen. I don't know if you're from Bob Jones. I don't hold that against you. I don't hold that. I just treasure the times we had Amen. There. That's what the Lord gave us. And I don't know if you know Pastor Bob Hamblin. He's with the Lord now. Yeah. We were from his church. That's our standing church in Covington, Indiana. That's why we know some churches in this area, because he was instrumental in leading us through good churches, Bible-believing churches. And so we're so grateful for that. And so we helped these missionaries. And I was in the military. I was an officer in the military and also electrical engineering major. When the Lord called me to preach, the missionary was preaching in Portuguese and I was translating, making it sound better in Portuguese. You know how that goes? And he was preaching about surrendering your life to serve the Lord. And I was translating that. And little did I know the Lord was speaking to me in two languages. That's you. So dropped everything. That's when we came to America, both of us, and we were here for 5 years and got our training. Our sons were born here in South Carolina, and then we went back to Brazil. We didn't have any support back then, so what we did, we taught English as a foreign language, and we held Bible studies in our home, in our language school, and in fact, some of our deacons today were former English students who got saved. Wow. And so the Lord used that, but we did that for the translation work, gospel tract translation, things like that. But we were so busy, like working like 100 hours a week and for 7 years, and we just prayed, Lord, I was ordained in the States, I was trained in the States, open the opportunity for us to go back and share the ministry so we can raise our support. So back, it was right after 9/11, so we were in the States for Brazil for 7 years. After 7 years there, we went to, came back to America. Right after 9/11, the churches were kind of apprehensive. You know, should we take on more missionaries? What should we do next? And we figured and we prayed. We're no better than anybody else, but we thought, we prayed, Lord, give us a year. We just need a year because we know the culture, we know the language, you know, and the Lord didn't see fit to do that. And the churches were, like I said, apprehensive because of the 9/11 event. And it took us 2 years and 8 months. And back then I had a religious visa for 3 years, and the Lord knew I needed that, not just the 6 months. So the Lord provided us exactly what we thought it would be too much, but it was exactly what we needed. Back in 2010, Mr. Obama canceled that, so we were back on the tourist visa. Anyway, it's not going to go into politics and think of the past either. Yeah, so Past is past. Amen. And so we're able to fully support ourselves, go back to Brazil and do church planting. And then we've been on our own doing church planting since 2000. And by God's grace, we're able to start three churches. One has been turned over to a Brazilian missionary whom we support. Our main church there supports 15 missionaries, and by God's grace. And then the second church, which I call the main church, is the church that we, after 15 years, we turn over to a Brazilian full-time pastor. And now we're working on our third church there, and we're in furlough now to the end of the year until October to report the supporting churches and get to know new churches and raise some support and prayer support as well. And so we've been, there's a co-worker there filling in for us, doing a fantastic job. We're seeing souls saved and people trained. And there's so much I could tell you here about how the Lord worked out for us to be back here in America to report. So our kids live in Pensacola. One is married to a Brazilian. They go to Faith Baptist Church there too in Pensacola. And Pastor Jeff Bailey, I don't know if you know him, is a very good fundamental Baptist church, solid church. And he and his wife are also working at Hispanic Baptist Church of that church, so Iglesia Bautista Fe. So they've been helping there for, he's been there for 4 years, and then they got married. They've been working 2.5 years together helping that Spanish ministry as well. He's also in the missions committee of the American church. Hey, you're a missionary kid, so you're going to work. And I love that, you know. And my other son, he is an artist. He graduated from Pensacola Christian College. And he's between colleges now, looking forward to a master's, probably Washington State. He likes the cold weather, but it's a good school there for art. And he's been doing some freelance work for the Creation Museum and Abeka curriculum and things like that. He's very gifted. The Lord really blessed him in that area. So that's in a nutshell what we're doing. And like I said, we had an opening this morning and we prayed. The internet was very, very weak this week. So we went to Panera Bread. We spent 6 hours there, coffee and soup, and found your church, found the location, put it on the map, and praise the Lord, the GPS brought us here safely. Amen. So we're excited we're here. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Brother,
and
sing
wow, we'll try something.
Somebody turn that mic on for the pulpit in the back. Derek's got it.
I'm sorry, I'm just now coming out of a cold. Last Sunday, I couldn't speak.
The reason why I said that, because we got a girl that's Portuguese. That's just come in.
Brasileira?
No.
Portugal?
Yes. Okay.
Entende português, então.
Sim.
Ok.
Tornar-se.
Em português, né?
Fita teus olhos.
Começa em português.
Pode
ser. Ok. Fita teus olhos em Cristo, tão cheio de graça e amor, e o mundo viu sem valor será, posto à luz do glorioso Senhor. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and glory and grace.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen, brother.
Y'all pray for them. And appreciate them coming by today. What a blessing.
Appreciate it. Amen.
I wish more folks are here to hear you. All right, take your Bible, looking anywhere is all good. So, Calvinism, and we're not Calvinists. We're Bible believers. We're not Baptist briders. We're Bible believers. Take your Bible, look in first or Luke chapter 19. We're on limited atonement. And that limited atonement is definition would be confined within limits, restricted or circumscribed only to pay the price for the very elect. And the Bible defutes that. The Bible defutes it. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 19. A lot of churches, I said, Presbyterians, Baptists are even going that way, Calvinism, and a lot of Presbyterian, mostly Presbyterian, all Calvinists. We had a Bible Presbyterian guy come here a couple weeks ago, and he's Calvinist, but you almost say I could go along with 2 points of Calvinism, total depravity and perseverance of the saints. But if you go along, they always say if you go along 1 point, you got to go over all of it. But, you know, that ain't really true. But John Calvin, a guy gave me a book a while back. He wrote a book on Calvinism about that thick. I mean, it's a boring book. I start reading it. I fall asleep every time I read it. And Calvinism is boring, very boring. But in Luke 19, just...
They're not calling themselves Calvinists anymore.
What do they call themselves?
Reformed.
Reformed. But Calvinism is a boring, actually it's heresy in a sense. It's heresy. But here's what you can, when you talk about limited atonement, they're saying only God shed enough blood just for the very elect. And saying that Jesus Christ, actually God didn't have a plan for if, say, more people got saved. Oh, man, I tell you what, I didn't figure on that. And but God shed enough blood for everybody.
Yeah.
And look in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, or actually 8, and Jesus said unto them, this day is salvation come unto this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So whoever's lost, God come to seek and save. And now you say, is everybody going to get saved? No, they're not. Not everybody's going to come to the Lord. God knows that. We went through that thing about the foreknowledge of God. God knows who's going to get saved and who ain't. And what you ought to do is say, thank you, Lord, that I got in. Amen.
Amen.
And God looked down through the ages, and he seen who would trust him under the right conditions and the things that happened in your life. And God says, I foreordained that. And predestinate that because I see it in the future. God sees the future. You read the book of Revelation. The Revelation, God's already showed you all that's going to come to pass. And he knows. He knows who's going to get saved and who ain't. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 4. Look in John 4. Look in John 4. John 4, 42. Look back at verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, notice Samaritans, they were half-breed. They were half Jew, half something else. And it says they sought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words. See, the Jews were upset. I mean, they said, why is he going to Samaritan? What is he talking to them people? I mean, they're not the elect. They're not in. And the Lord said, I come to seek and save that which is lost.
Yeah.
And he was saying they were upset because of Samaritans. And they were half-breed, and they weren't part of Israel. And so they got the Jews, the prophet, the disciples got upset. And said the woman, unto the woman, now we believe not because of the sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the what?
World.
Savior of the world. Not just the very, the ones that are, you know, not just those Jews. And now after 2 days, he departed hence and went into Galilee, and Jesus himself testified that a prophet have no honor in his own country. So look at second, what, or 1 Timothy 2. Look at 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. And that's why you find no Calvinistic churches going out, passing out tracts, witnessing to people, telling people about Jesus Christ. And I was down in Texas. I was passing out tracts down there, and I always ask them, have you ever seen this tract? I always give out, I like the chick tracts. I like giving them out. And I ask people, have you ever seen one? And a lot of times, you know what people say? No, I've never seen one. Never seen it. And so Calvin's, people that believe in Calvinism don't pass out tracts. They don't witness. They don't tell people about Jesus Christ. If they do, I tell them, you're not a good Calvinist. Because most Calvinists don't tell anybody about the Lord. They just say, well, they're going to see it in my life. And if they're the elect, they'll come to Jesus. If they're not, they'll go to hell. 1 Timothy 2, look at this. In verse 4, he says, for who will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth? So you, if you're a Calvinist, you got to mark that out of your Bible. You just mark that out of your Bible. Who will have all men to be saved? And he says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, an apostle. I speak the truth of Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that all that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and so on. So Calvin, they didn't believe that. They didn't believe that God would want every man to be saved. Now, you know, like I said, is everybody going to get saved? No, they're not. Go back to John chapter 1. Go back to John chapter 1. Not everybody's going to get saved. But it's a blessing when you see somebody do get saved. Old Nathan called me yesterday, and I got a text from Eric that Nathan's mama got saved.
Amen.
She came to Seven Pillars on Friday night. She was there at Seven Pillars, and Eric was talking to her. She said, I know I need to get saved. And she went home that night and asked the Lord to save her. I asked Nathan this morning. I said, she's going to be in church this morning. He said, no, but she'll be here next week, Lord willing. So what a blessing. It's always a blessing to see somebody get saved.
Amen.
Who else, what you can say is, well, they were going to get saved anyway, so what's the use talking to them? You know, they're elect, so we ain't got to talk to nobody. Just, they're going to be saved, going to be saved. That is, man, that's a crazy, crazy thing. Crazy. Why do you think we run them buses out? You said, well, we'll pull the bus up in the neighborhood and the very elect will come to them. We pull the bus up in the neighborhood and we'll make sure you just open the doors and have a sign on the side, only for the elect. Yeah. And you don't make no effort and go knock on the door, try to tell, ask them to come and all that. And that's what the Calvinism believe. You don't have to do anything.
Then you can hose them and then they'll be baptized.
Yeah. But first, John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, next day Jesus seeth, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins for the very elect. Does it say that? It says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. How big is the world? Now, if you believe the world's flat, then people are falling off.
Yeah.
Flat earth, that crazy stuff. They're trying to make up crazy stuff. And now, we're not Calvinists, thank God. Now, this missionary is not a Calvinist because he wouldn't be a missionary if he was a Calvinist. Right? If you believe in the Calvinism, what's the sense of sending missionaries out?
Right.
What's the sense? I mean, the elect's going to be saved no matter what. They're going to get in. They might need a nudge. That's what they say. They might need a nudge. Just a little, you know, nudge there. Look in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, do we? Also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the what?
Ungodly.
So I would say everybody's kind of ungodly. Everybody in the world, ungodly. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. He says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, like I said, not everybody's going to be saved. Not everybody's going to trust the Lord. You ride down the road, you see all these people, everybody's busy going somewhere, going, doing something, and then on Sunday, everybody's got this, you know, agenda that they're going to go out. God is not in all their thoughts. God don't think about it, and, you know, they don't think about serving God. They don't think about getting saved. And I realize this, the world, the devil, and the flesh will keep people so busy that they don't have, and somebody be standing out to try to give them a track, but you never know, that one person might walk by and say, you know, I've been praying, I've been seeking God. And the Lord will direct them by. And there's people, the devil and the world keeps people so busy that they don't have time to think about God. And they get so thinking about themselves all the time, always concerned about themselves. Go to 1 Peter 3. Go to 1 Peter 3. These are verses that you can mark in your Bible. Somebody starts saying, you know, as soon as I got to Texas, I got into it with the Church of Christ. As soon as I went to Brahms. I like this little place in Canyon. It's called Brahms. It's an ice cream place. And they have them in Oklahoma. They have them in Texas. And man, I love to get there a hot fudge sundae. And we went in there and sat down. We hadn't even eaten dinner yet, but I wanted a hot fudge sundae. And we sat in there, and this old farmer, man, I mean, I thought, you know, I found old farmers are hard to witness to, man. They are tougher than some lawyers at times. And so this old farmer, he reminds you of a picture that you would see hanging on the wall, you know, of an old Texas farmer. And this old boy got up, and he's probably in his 80s, and, you know, he kind of bent over and has blue jeans on, his big belt buckle, you know, cowboy boots, and had his cowboy hat on, and everything. He's a rancher. I shouldn't say farmers. They don't like to be called farmers. They'd rather be called ranchers. So I said, hey, buddy, give you something to tell you about Jesus Christ. He looked at that thing. He said, I don't need that. He's at my table. And I said, what do you mean you don't need that? Are you saved? He said, I'm saved, but not like you think. And I said, what do you mean? And so we went around about, he believed in water baptism and salvation. And we went around. He started trying to show me some verse. I said, well, what about the thief on the cross? He said, well, that was in the other dispensation. I said, okay. I said, why did Paul? He said, well, Paul baptized. You know, Paul baptized. I said, why did Paul say Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel? If the gospel of Jesus Christ was baptism, then why didn't he say it? Right. He said, well, you're just twisting it. I said, no, I'm telling you what the verse said. Amen. And I think I was talking to Mike when I was it talking to you at the time? I was talking to somebody. And I had somebody on the phone. And then Brother Glenn came in. He said, around here is you either Catholic or your Church of Christ. And boy, I tell you what, they're tough to deal with. He said, what about Acts 2.38? Acts 2.38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And then, you know, he started quoting the scriptures to me. And Church of Christ, they believe in water baptism. Now, you said, when I first got saved, went down on the street. And I had teenagers. I was in South Carolina. And we all went out on the street in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm out there passing out tracts. I thought, I know what I'm doing. I know my Bible. I'm down there, and I'm passing out tracts. And this guy, as I gave a tract out, and the guy walks by me, he says, all I got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I said, that's it, man, if you mean it with your heart. I said, if you'll ask him, like childlike faith. He said, what about 1 Peter 3:21? And he says, what about Acts 2.38? And I'm walking along behind him trying to, and when I saw 1 Peter 3.21, it blew me away when it comes to Church of Christ. I'm talking about Calvinism, but man, that thing blew me away. I went, oh, I didn't know how to answer it. I looked at that thing and looked at that. I stayed up at my desk till about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I kept looking at that thing. It was a Saturday night. And I kept looking at that thing, looking at that thing. And finally, I called the preacher up. At 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was funny. His name was Billy Randall. Right when I called him up, he waited. He was sitting by the phone waiting for me because he heard what happened. His kids were out with us, and we were out passing out tracts and stuff. And as soon as he answered the phone, he goes, that verse you're looking at, 1 Peter 3:21, he didn't even say, hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, he just said, that verse you're looking at, 1 Peter 3:21, look at it again. So he broke it down, and we looked at it. Take your Bible, look at 1 Peter 3:21. Look what it says right there. So Church of Christ, trying to throw this at you. It says, in like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth now save us. I looked at that and I went, he said, see there, baptism saves us. But you won't find no water in that verse. Look at the parentheses. Look at the parentheses. You got words that's in parentheses. It says, not by the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. That's a parenthesis. So if you took that out just for a second, read it for what it says. And the like figure whereunto even baptism doeth now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that baptism is not water. So why do you take out that parenthesis? Because it's saying not by your flesh. Look what it says in the parenthesis now. He says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. So when a person gets baptized, that's not washing away your sins. It's saying that having a good conscience and also being obedient to the Lord. That doesn't wash away your sins. But baptism here is talking about we've been baptized in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And it says by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that threw me. And when he said that, I went, man, why didn't I see that? That was so simple. So this Church of Christ guy, we went around a little bit, and I said to him, I said, man, don't go to hell, brother. Don't go to hell. So anyway, Calvinism. Go to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. Limited atonement. You got all kinds of, I never forget when I first got saved, I said, ain't no way I'm going to learn all this stuff. Ain't no way I'm going to learn all this about different people, what they believe and everything. But guess what? When you believe the Bible, all the other stuff just, you know, you'll say, man, that's a bunch of baloney. When you believe this King James Bible is the Word of God and you stay with the Bible, then what happens is you start saying, okay, this guy is teaching falsehood. This guy ain't right. This ain't right. So you get to know your Bible. Get to know the Word of God. Look at 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4:10. 1 Timothy 4:10. Look what it says. He says, verse 9. It says, for this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all, what? Amen. Savior of all men. That verse right there, especially of those that believe. So those that are believe are in. But it says he's the Savior of all men if they'll come to him. He'll save whoever will, whosoever will. Red, yellow, black, or white, makes no difference, man. We support missionaries around the world, all over the different continents. Why? Because Jesus Christ will save whosoever believe. Get the Word of God to them. And that's why it's important to reach kids when they're young, because what happens is they get older as teenage years, you start getting harder. The world makes you hard. You start getting your eyes on other things. But when they're children, you have to have childlike faith to come to the Lord. When you can reach those children, we got people all over this place, man, that gotten saved as children here. But what we're trying to do is disciple them. We fail in discipleship. We fail in spending time teaching them and trying to get hope. What happens is a lot of times we have transition stuff going on. You got bus kids coming in here, and then all of a sudden they get saved, and then they move away, and got this going on, that going on, in different places. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. It says all men, all men. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? Sinners. Now, if you're dealing with a person, you say, are they a sinner? Yep. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. To save sinners of whom I am chief, Paul's talking about. These verses right here, what can you defute? I mean, how can you defute that? All, he said, well, they're only a very elect. Only a very elect. We also believe that what Calvinism is they believe in irresistible grace. It's not resistible. They're incapable of resisting it. Incapable to or withstand it. I've seen people withstand the grace of God. We had a lady right here in this church one time. I was dealing with her, and she was on her knees right there in the foyer. I was on my knees with her, and she was on her knees crying. And I was crying, begging her to get saved. And finally, she just pulled away. She said, no, I can't. I can't. She pulled away. She wouldn't get saved. Say, well, there's still time, long as a person's still breathing. You know, I've had people tell me, there's no hope for that person. Oh, yes, long as they're still breathing. Can a person get saved on their deathbed? Yes, they can. But that's taking a chance waiting that long. You'd be a fool to wait that long. Irresistible grace. That's what Calvin believed. And it's called TULIP. T-U-I-L-I-P. TULIP. And he believed irresistible grace. And, you know, take your Bible and look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Some of this stuff y'all know. You've known it. You've gone through it. You've just kind of like, you know, just going over something here. But irresistible grace, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, look at verse 9. He says, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandments of God, and ye may keep your own tradition. Talking about the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus says, ye reject the commandments of God, and ye may keep your own traditions. And they, you know, they say, well, they're not the elect then. They're not the elect because they reject. But there were some Pharisees that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them, Nicodemus, he believed on the Lord. Take your Bible, look in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is making Calvinism simplified. That's what it is. But Calvinism is complicated. Very complicated. But I'm making it simplified because I'm stupid. I'm not very smart. So I just take it as I can get it and make it simple. And I'm glad I'm just take it simple. Amen. I'd rather be simple. John chapter 5 and look at verse, back at verse 40. He says, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Bible talks about the devil being the king over all the children of pride. Some people will not get saved. They know what's right. They know the truth, but they reject it because of their pride. They just pride gets in the way. And the devil is the king of all the children of pride. Just mess people up. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Man, wouldn't that be a terrible thing, the Lord looking at you saying, you don't have the love of God in you. You're a phony. You're a fake. I am coming in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. He's telling them Pharisees, you're trusting in Moses, and you're always bragging in Moses and all that. You're resisting the grace of God. And a man can resist God's grace. But when you say that people won't, if they're not getting saved, it's because that God preordained that they would resist. Now, does God know that? Yes, he does. But can that person get saved? To a Calvinist, they'll say, no, if you resist, you can't get saved. No way. You can't. You're damned to hell, no matter what. John Calvin said, this many people are going to go to heaven, whether they like it or not. This many people are going to go to hell, whether they like it or not. And that's not Bible. That's not Bible at all. Irresistible grace. Not resistible, unable, incapable to be able to resist. Well, all right, time's already going by. We're going to stop right there. We'll get in this next time, Lord willing. We only got perseverance of the saints to finish up on. But Calvinism is a cult, and I would say it's a false doctrine, and it's heresy. And you got a lot of churches today preaching. They have Sunday morning service, and they won't preach about going to heaven. They won't preach about going to hell. They won't preach and give invitations, say you need to get saved. They'll talk about salvation. They'll talk about different things, but they won't talk about you need to get saved personally. You need to trust Christ. And a lot of churches, they just go through a ceremonial performance. They'll go through a ceremonial going through their religious ceremony, and nobody gets saved. Nobody leaves any better other than making themselves feel good. So getting saved and then living for God, surrendering to the Lord on a daily basis, that makes you feel good. When you walk with God and fellowship with him, he said, you resist me. You resist me. Now, today, before we get started in some morning service, pray God. If God's got something for you, bow your head and say, Lord, help me not to resist what you got for me and you're trying to show me. I don't want to resist it. Every time a preacher preaches, I say, God, give me something. Give me something. If it's something that I need a rebuke, if whatever I need, give it to me. If I need it, show me. And the Lord, I guarantee you, no doubt in my mind, he'll do it if you ask him. And a lot of times, even if you don't ask him, he'll show you. Amen? All right. Father, thank you, God, for Sunday school. Thank